Chapter 1. To Silence the Dirge. The sound of the dirge horn hung over everything. Here, so close to the source, it was almost a physical pressure, beating upon the minds and souls of the storm-cast eternals who fought their way through the crooked, fungus-slick trees and overgrown fen of rot-water blight. The call of the dirge horn was in everything, reverberating from every stone and stump, quavering in the fly-blown air like an unending groan. The hideous sound of it rolled on and on, each note slithering into the next. It was a wave of pure discord, sluggish and flat, carrying with it despondency and gloom. It was a constant drone that shivered along on the wings of flies and miasmic breezes, withering trees and cracking rocks. Where it passed, green leaves turned black, and the very stones sprouted quivering boils and buboes. The Sylvaneth had been put to flight by its mournful note, clutching at their heads with palsied fingers as their bark-like flesh grew cracked and pale. Those who had made Rotwater Blight their home fled deeper into the forests to escape it, and the land echoed with the sounds of their flight. Dryads shrieked and wailed as they staggered through the swampy forest, adding to the already horrid din, and squealing forest spites filled the air, flickering like fireflies as they hurtled away from the maddening pulse. But while the treekin fled, the stormcasts plunged into the teeth of that droning sound, determined to silence it or perish in the attempt. Retinue after retinue, brotherhood by brotherhood, they slogged on, through stinking mire and dying glade, pitting lightning-forged hearts and souls against the blaring call of Nurgle. Liberators and retributors marched in ordered phalanxes along the mould-spotted trails and were guided by winged prosecutors, who braved the fly-choked air to steer their kin to firmer ground. The decimators' weapons glowed with cold fire as they carved a path towards the dirge horn's call, hacking through thick vines that sprayed viscous sap and clutching branches that writhed like serpents as they fell. The Steel Souls, a warrior chamber of the Hallowed Knights, led the way. Their panoply of war gleamed silver and rich gold, while their shoulder guards and heavy shields were of deepest regal blue. The Steel Souls were not alone in their march. Others shared their burden. Warrior chambers from the Astral Templars and the Guardians of the Firmament both fought their way through Rotwater Blight alongside the Hallowed Knights, their decimators joining those of the Steel Souls at the point of the spear. The Stormcasts had borne the wailing call of the artifact known as the Dirge Horn for many miles and days of marching, braving horrors undreamt of. They had struggled through belching quagmires and hillocks of dead insects. The bubbling morass of the Green Glow Lake stretched to the west of the armored host, splitting the land like an open wound. To the east, the thick forests of the Blight rose wild and forbidding. The sky overhead was the color of an infected wound, and a choking wind blew from the east. Everywhere Lord Castellant Loras Grimm of the Hallowed Knights looked, it was as if the land was dying. He strode alongside the column, accompanied by the furry, feathered shape of his loyal griffhound, Talon. His heavy halberd lay across one broad shoulder, and he kept a firm grip on its haft, ready to swing it into position at a moment's notice. He held his warding lantern high, casting its light across the ranks of warriors as they marched. The fortifying glow burned off the layers of filth that caked the armor of his brethren, returning it to a glorious luster, as was fitting. The Hallowed Knights had been the fourth storm host to be founded, the ranks of their warrior chambers filled with the faithful of the mortal realms. Their only commonality was that each had called upon Sigmar's name in battle and had been heard, and that each had shed his mortal flesh in the name of a righteous cause. The Steel Souls were the best of them, tried and tested, and found worthy in the fires of war. But not without cost, Grimm thought. Yes, the Steel Souls had paid a heavy price. Lord Celestant Gardas, the one who had given them their name, was gone, lost through the realm gate known as the Gates of Dawn, leaving his warriors bereft of his leadership. It had been Gardas who had led the first strike into the wilds of Gyron, so that a permanent path to Azir might be opened. It had been Gardas who had been sent to ensure that Grimm and the rest of his warrior chamber might descend upon the Jade Kingdoms to reinforce their brothers. It was not to be, however. Despite the aid of the Astral Templars and the last-minute intervention of the Warglades of the mysterious Sylvaneth, Gardas had been forced to destroy the Realm Gate and had perished in the act.
"Damn you, Gardas," Grimm thought,
not for the first time. It was even as the Lord Relictor of the Steel Souls, Morbus Stormwarden, had said. The sage had seen Gardas's fall in his dreams and had come to Grimm with his concerns. But too late. And now Gardas was gone. The best of them. The one who had been, up to this point, Grimm's only equal on or off the field. A man with whom he had been proud to stand shoulder to shoulder against the foes of Sigmar. The Steel Soul had not died as a stormcast aught and returned to the great forges of Sigmaron, there to be remade by the hands of the God-King himself. Instead, Gardas had thrown himself into the realm of chaos, locked in combat with a greater demon. No soul returned from those hell realms. Not even one made of steel, Grimm thought. Angry now, he turned his thoughts to the present. They had a duty to fulfill, and they would meet it no matter the cost. The dirge horn would be silenced. Of this Grimm was confident. But he knew that while the artifact had sorely afflicted the inhabitants of these wooded realms, it was not the sole cause of their pain. Flies droned, and the swamp sludge bubbled as rotted boughs creaked in the unnatural pall that marked the places where Nurgle's influence had eclipsed that of the realm of life's rightful ruler. Chain-throttled oaks moaned wordlessly about them, and forest spirits struggled helplessly in the mires of Nurgle's making. The Stormcasts who fought across the ever-shifting landscape of Gyron were doing what they could to free the Jade Kingdoms from the clutches of the Plague Lord, but they could not do it alone. Sigmar had sent representatives to find the Lady Alariel in her seclusion and re-establish old ties, but as far as Grimm knew, they had all returned to Azir empty-handed. Alariel had, like Sigmar himself, existed for untold eons, and there were murals in Sigmaron dedicated to her. The largest and greatest of these showed Sigmar waking the radiant queen from her centuries of slumber, and the two throwing back the forces of darkness together. Once, she had been the God-King's ally. Once, but not for many years, since the powers of ruin had swept through the mortal realms, and the great Celestine Gates of Azir had slammed shut, sealing the realm of heavens off from the rest of the eight realms. Now those gates were open once more, and Sigmar had stretched forth his hand to old and new allies alike, so that together they might throw off the chains of monstrous tyranny. A good dream, if as yet unproven, Grimm thought.
Lord Castellant!
Grimm looked up as the silver-swooping form of Tegris of the Sainted Eye, Prosecutor Prime of the Steel Souls, gestured towards the shore of the lake. Grimm cursed as he saw several Stormcasts stumble towards the dark waters.
Talon, go,
he said urgently, as he hurried towards the warriors. The Griffhound chirped and bounded away. The animals slid between the Stormcasts, snapping and shrieking, stopping them in their tracks long enough for Grimm to reach them.
Back, you fools! Get away from the water, he roared.
As he caught hold of a stumbling Stormcast's shoulder and pulled the warrior back, the still waters of the lake erupted in a storm of lashing, mouth-studded tendrils. Several of the Stormcasts were snatched up before they even had time to cry out. Talon flung himself upon one tendril, severing it with his beak and freeing the warrior it held.
Back!
Grimm roared again, hooking his lantern on the blade of his halberd and extending it out over the water. The light of the warding lantern shone across the frothing lake, and the tendrils retreated as if burned. In the darkness, something wailed like a damned soul, and Grim heard heavy bodies flopping and thrashing.
Tegras!
Grim called out to the prosecutor, swooping overhead.
Drive these beasts back into the depths!
Overhead, Tegras led his winged warriors out over the water. They hurled their celestial hammers at the vast shapes that dwelled beneath the murk. The monsters plunged deeper into the waters to avoid the barrage, leaving behind only a sour smell and the shooting blue light of those warriors they had managed to drown before Grim had stymied them.
Away!
He snarled, gesturing back towards the path.
Get back! Move!
Grim turned his attentions to the warrior he'd saved. The Liberator stumbled against him as they moved away from the water, half torpid, weapon and shield dangling from his grip. He was an astral templar, clad in amethyst and gold.
Awaken,
Grim said, shaking the Liberator. The warrior slumped, and Grim grunted as he caught him.
Awaken, I say! Do not give in! Heed me!
He set his halberd so that the light of his lantern caught the warrior full. As the light bathed him, the Liberator struggled upright, gaining strength from the healing glow of the warding lantern.
I just wanted to clean this filth from my warplate, the Stormcast said, his voice slurred. To wash myself clean of the taint of this place. To drink...
Yes, brother, there is no shame in that, Grim said urgently. But this place devours warriors as surely as any beast. You must keep to the road. Stay in the light.
Some among the storm host were beginning to succumb to the waking nightmare of this realm, their spirits sapped by the relentless blare of the dirge horn and the miasma that clung to the land around them. Their war mantras were drowned out by the growing cacophony of the horn, denying them succor, and every day saw more warriors sent back to Azir in a blaze of blue light. Rotwater Blight was as much their enemy as the servants of Nurgle.
I can hear it, Lord Castellant, the Liberator said. It's burrowing into my mind, my soul.
He reached up as if to tear his helmet off and fumbled with his weapon and shield, nearly dropping them.
It's echoing in my head.
Grim seized the warrior's hands.
Stop!
He snarled, shouting to be heard over the shriek of the dirge horn.
You are Stormcast. Remember what that means, brother.
I have him, Lord Castellant, a voice said.
Grim looked up and saw the heavy shape of the Lord Celestant of the Astral Templars. Zavaclius had been a big man even before his reforging, and he loomed over Grim now, his amethyst armor scorched in places and scored with the marks of claws and fangs. Now he caught the Liberator by the shoulders.
Arkos, isn't it? You stood with me at the Lake of Screaming Reeds when that toad dragon hurled itself at the shield wall of our brothers. I nearly broke my blade on its blubbery hide, and you were there, shielding me from its vile spew. And at the Grove of Blighted Lanterns, did you not raise your hammer in defense of your brothers, as the Jabberslith screamed? Stand tall, Arkos. We are the Beastbane, slayers of the Black Bull of Nordrath, and we shall not allow a mere winding tune to break us.
The warrior nodded wearily and allowed his Lord Celestant to urge him back towards his brethren. Zavaclius watched him go and then turned to Grim.
Death is a high price, but not without its allure, the Lord Celestant said, watching the lake.
Is your resolve so fragile, Beastbane?
Grim asked harshly.
No, but this hellish landscape has worn us down, Grim. For some among our warriors, to return in failure is beginning to seem preferable to slogging through this foulness for even a single hour more, Zavaclius growled. Even the air attacks us.
He clutched at his head for a moment.
And that blasted wail never ends. It gnaws at us every moment, digging into us. I can't even hear myself think.
We must press on. We are close, Grim said.
The horn grows louder, and we are assailed more frequently. We are close, Savaclius, and only the faithful shall prevail.
He thumped the other Stormcast on the shoulder.
Much is demanded. Of those to whom much has been given,
Savaclius finished.
Garda said that often.
He shook his head.
I wish that he were here. As do I, Grimm said. But we must...
A cry from above interrupted him. He looked up, saw the prosecutors circling a high, sloping hill that overlooked the lake, and said,
Tegris has found something.
The enemy?
Savaclius asked.
Better, I think, Grimm said. Come, we must alert the others.